Okay, so we will start. The first company to present is E-Trade. Kyle Rossner is the CEO. He's been the CEO since September of 2016. All I would say is that the stock price was 27 back then. Yesterday it closed at 64.69, so not a bad job.
Pretty close. Wow. I didn't expect that. Can I leave now?
So, here we go. A little heat. So, first question.
Yep.
Were you really in mixed martial arts in college?
That's not what I expected, but it is true. I used to teach taekwondo. I did mixed martial arts about 8 years ago until I realized I was too old to do it. So yeah. I slowed down a bit because it hurt both shoulders at that point. But yeah, so if you want to come at me, Rich, we're going to
go. See, I picked you as aggressive.
As aggressive?
Inner strong aggressive. I didn't know you were physically as aggressive as that.
Contemplative art.
Anyway, we'll get to the first real question, I guess. So I know you might have heard this once or twice before, but and we'll get right to the meat and not fiddle around here.
Sure.
So in October, you talked about on the earnings call, you said the board would provide a definitive assessment of management's overall progress and the path for the next phase of long-term value creation for E-Trade. So just if you could tell us more about the process, the criteria. I know you're going to get questioned all day long and all the days pass, but that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, I guess.
Yep, I think it's bigger than 800 pounds. So, just to level set, and it's a question that we deal with all the time, and obviously we've been handling it on every call and every meeting. So just to level set for everyone in the room, those of you who aren't aware, those of you who are too intimately aware with where we've been and sort of what we've said, in September of 2016, I was put in this role with a clear mandate from our board. That mandate was to grow the franchise. All right, let's see if we can reignite the engine of growth within E-Trade and get the brokerage back to its place of prominence in the marketplace. All right, we'd always been the innovative leader. We'd always been the sort of first thought of in the market, the real thought leader, and our technology-forward platform was, you know, best in class. So how do we get back to that place? So Thomas is telling me that's not true, but you know, sorry. So looking at what we got together with the board and we established four growth goals that we believed would be the real proof points over a period of about 18 to 24 months as to whether or not we could truly reignite the growth engines and pivot the company in a way that would grow long-term shareholder value and continue to have value creation going forward. So the four goals, I won't go through them in too much detail, but two of the goals on the account growth and the asset growth were really geared toward the health of the franchise. Could we reinvigorate the business? Could we grow our revenues and ultimately drive EPS growth? The other two, derivative DARTs as a percentage of DARTs and our growth in managed accounts, were proof points of our strategy, right? More tactical in nature, to see if we could properly integrate and take advantage of the Options House platform that we had just acquired and really grow our active trader base, our derivative trader sales, to ensure that we could continue to participate in that very lucrative end of the market. Right? Your derivative traders, your active traders, those are your best customers. They do a lot of business with you. They have a lot of trading, a lot of cash. They use margin, securities-based lending. So growing that, it was a proof point that we could continue to move forward. On the managed account side, it was whether or not we could really take our brand to the next level. Could we be accepted as E-Trade with folks who were looking more toward long-term wealth, long-term growth and growth of their wealth? So that's the way it was laid out. The 18 to 24 month time period, that sort of clock, if you will, began ticking in September of 2016. And 24 months is, you know, September of 2018, and we thought it would be appropriate to announce the results of that sort of outcome of our strategic review and our the goals that we'd set on our earnings call in October, so our third quarter call. What's the board going to look at? What's the information that they're going to, you know, sort of take into account when they look at the overall health of the franchise? Operating performance, financial performance, the growth goals, right? Have we hit them? How have we done on them? have we been driving long-term value? Is there an ability for the firm to continue to drive long-term value for its shareholders? Can we grow in the spaces that we have targeted for our longer-term strategic plan? Management will present again, as we do every year, our longer-term strategic plan and our vision for the company, and the board will assess that in connection with the operating performance and financial performance, and they'll take that view. That's some of the information they have requested and will continue to request more from us. It's a very well-informed board. They take their jobs very seriously. They're very aware of their fiduciary duties, and we have been and will continue to be extremely transparent. In terms of the actual process, it's nothing new for our board. I've talked about this a number of times, and we've been very open about this. They have a third party, an investment bank, come in and take a look on pretty much an annual basis at the intrinsic value of the firm. And the board likes to understand, what's our firm worth? What does a third party look at it? How does it fit within the competitive environment? What are the strategic opportunities that are out on the playing field? Are there other things that we could be doing? So they really take a look holistically, quantitatively and qualitatively, at the company's value. That process will be undergone again, and we'll take you through the results of that process on the October call. So very long-winded answer, but I think it's a good way to set the stage, Rich, for everyone to understand that, A, this isn't something that the board hasn't done before, and B, it's not a binary process where they're going into this thinking sale, no sale. They are truly looking at the intrinsic value of this franchise.
And you talked about the four brokerage or metric objectives that, and I think because it was made public, so public back in the, whether that was, hindsight, the best decision or not, but the emphasis on the four core brokerage metrics, could you make any comment on, put some perspective on that, on how the board will assess those metrics?
Sure. Just to get to the first point, because I think you raised something that's very important. We believe this was absolutely the right decision to be as public and as open kimono as we have been with these growth goals. We think it's entirely appropriate for our owners and our shareholders to understand where we are in the life cycle of this company, right, and where we were at the time we made the change. It was a very bold move that our board made in terms of pivoting from that risk environment that we had lived in for such a long period of time to say, can we grow this place again? Right. So I think it was wholly appropriate, and it was absolutely the right thing to do at the time, because those growth goals gave me a clear mandate to line up the organization in the way that I saw fit with the board to really reinvigorate the engine that was E-Trade, to get it started again and get it cranked up. So in terms of the four goals that we've been dealing with very publicly, we're always focused on longer-term growth. But in terms of the goals themselves on the account side, look, we're, over the trailing 12 months, we're sort of right in the range of where we had hoped to be for overall account growth. That's a result of a very big brand campaign, right, pushing out some new marketing, and really getting our brand and our products, services, tools back into the marketplace in a big way, aided by some very strong education, some very strong sales and service organizations that we've put together on the active trader side, and really doing well on the account side. On the asset growth goal that we set, we always knew that one was going to be a long pole in the tent, but I couldn't be happier with what we've accomplished. 2017, $12.2 billion in net new assets, a record for the firm, really driving hard. Last quarter, or the first quarter, is $5.3 billion in net new assets for us, which was another record, right, a record quarter for E-Trade. And that's a direct result of, the push on the account side, our marketing campaign, the tools that we have, the phenomenal business we have from E-Trade Corporate Services, our stock plan administration business, and how that feeds assets into the pipeline on a fairly consistent basis. Then you look at, what we have in the pipeline and what we have in store from both growing the corporate services business, the RIA channels that come to us through our custody platform at TCA by E-Trade, all of the customers who have come on us as new accounts, so very satisfied with our progress on the asset side, and a lot more to come, and some very good green shoots on that one that I really am pleased about. On the derivatives as a percentage, derivative DARTs as a percentage of overall DARTs, In April, we were on the money on that one. May, we just announced yesterday or this morning, that we're sort of right in line in that 34%-35% range. That's really a testament to the brokerage team that came in from Options House and reinvigorated our active trader sales, our derivatives offering, the tools and technology that we have, the service team that we have, and growing on that piece. The derivatives, the percentage of DARTs, I think we've proven that we belong in that space, and that we can continue to move up in that space. On managed product, growing to $6 billion, look, that's a drop in the bucket. We're all very well aware of that. The management team doesn't look at that as if that's some big financial goal that we set, that we're going to drive big value with that $6 billion. Getting it to $5.6 billion in a very short period of time and having the growth that we have without really putting our brand or marketing behind it yet, has served as a proof point to us that we can be in the investing space. That we do belong in that space, and that we can continue to grow. A lot more to come as we push out our core portfolios, which is our robo offering that we've had online for some time, but we haven't really invested the marketing dollars in. Then more, again, on the investing advice continuum and helping people, including our corporate services end client on the stock plan participant side, as well as our own E*TRADE sort of brokerage core clients, that we can be the place to invest as well as to trade. It's been a really good proof point for us. They've had the impact that we wanted. I think what you've seen is sort of the proof of our strategic plan really playing out in front of the markets.
You talked about the corporate stock plan business. I know you enjoy it. It's a unique business. You're a leader in it. I think it's 130 in new accounts, 15% of the assets that turn over stay at E*TRADE. I guess that could be one enhancement to net new asset growth. Can you talk about how you can, or what you're doing at the corporate stock plan administration business to help grow net new assets?
Sure. The stock plan business to us is an absolute differentiator. It's a competitive differentiator for us. In addition to the 15% of assets or whatever other pieces we have a pipeline right now of signed clients who are waiting to be onboarded of $14 billion. That was not the same $14 billion we had 6 months ago when we talked about it. That's been sort of some of it's run through the pipeline and others have been refreshed. They are doing an amazing job at winning new business. I can't really just talk about moving up that percentage of 15% on average of what we maintain without talking about growing that larger pie of corporate clients. Our staff and our team who runs E*TRADE Corporate Services, we changed out that management team in 2016. We gave them a lot of autonomy. We gave them the tools, and we invested in them on their sales force, on their implementation force, to make sure that they had in front of them what they needed to go out and win more business. It's a business that listens to their clients. I was out on the West Coast a couple of weeks ago at the conference for the stock plan business, which is our Directions conference. The corporate clients who are on us already, in addition to many prospects who were there, to a person who I talked to, said that the service team, the implementation team, the technology, and the follow-up and the help that's available in that plan is second to none. It's a business that we will continue to invest in, continue to rely on, and it'll continue to drive assets at the top end. On the retention of assets of that bigger pool that's coming through, it's one of the core reasons that we went out after TCA, right on the custody platform. A lot of the assets that leave us, we know go to advised services or folks who want higher touch with their newly found wealth, particularly that new entrant space. Going after that participant pool with additional RIAs through a referral network, keeping some more of those assets on us, and establishing deeper relationships with the stock plan participant client, that's a big part of it. The other pieces that we've been working on, obviously our investing advice continuum, our core portfolios, our robo. What are these folks looking for when they get newfound wealth, they have a stock grant that exercises, or that they come into cash in their account? How can we educate them better? How do we get in front of the clients earlier? How do we get on campuses? We've had some early success and a lot more to come, but it's absolutely an area we're investing in because we have a fantastic feeder channel. What we have to do now is capitalize on that pool of assets that are already on us to retain more. So that's absolutely a focus, Rich.
So you talked about the TCA, Trust Company of America. Well, I guess the point
TCA
is
by E*TRADE.
TCA by E*TRADE now. So you focused on these core brokerage metrics, but that's not the only thing you've done. The two acquisitions, if you look at it, combined almost $500 million, $445 million to be exact, TCA and Cap One.
Yep.
So I guess on TCA, you mentioned it helps, I think it's 200 advisors or around there. And can you sort of explain how that integrates in with the overall E*TRADE?
Sure.
How you can leverage it?
Sure. So TCA is another avenue for us to source assets. Putting our brand behind TCA has already gotten them into the room with some of the larger RIA customers who are on other custody platforms. They had a very difficult time. They did punch above their weight at bringing in sort of, call it, around $18 billion in assets that they had under custody. But getting E*TRADE's brand behind them has already opened doors to a number of meetings that we're quite pleased with in terms of pipeline for TCA. The other piece of the acquisition for TCA was we've been missing that higher touch service channel that a lot of our retail customers, as well as our stock plan participants, leave us for. Right? When they want a higher touch service offering, they go out to an RIA. We didn't have the ability to retain those assets. We had nowhere to refer them. So we're in the process now of building out that referral network on both sides of the house for retail brokerage, as well as for stock plan participants. And that will keep more assets on us through the TCA custody platform, as well as give us the ability to go out and create these new customer relationships by showing them that E*TRADE is here for them in more than just E*TRADE and for trading. So TCA, their platform is extremely well-liked by their clients. I've sat with a number of the RIAs on their platform. The service offering they have, high-touch service model, again, very similar to the corporate services side of the house, always looking at the customer first, whether that customer be an individual, a corporation, or the stock plan participant themselves, making sure that they're satisfied in every contact they have with you, and that's something TCA has thrived on. Capital One is a different story for us. It's not often that you get the opportunity to purchase 1 million new accounts for the price that we did. So we look at the Capital One transaction as complete opportunity. They are not as active or engaged as a traditional E*TRADE customer would be, but there is a lot of opportunity. They have engaged with the markets. They are self-directed. Right? They've gone through and done their work on the old Capital One platform. Now bringing them onto E*TRADE and opening up those 1 million new accounts to be accessed by our marketing department and to show them the tools, the offering, the education, and the services that we can provide, we think it's a phenomenal opportunity for us. We just moved the closing of that deal from Q3 to Q4, and quite honestly, that's all about the customer. We want to make sure that they have a fantastic experience coming in as E*TRADE customers. We don't want to leave anything to chance or rush that acquisition. We want them to be open to communications from us, and we don't want to lose any of them as a result of a conversion. So we've pushed it into the fourth quarter, and we'll continue to update on progress there.
So you mentioned that you, at times, TCA filled a void of accounts that moved up to a certain level and might leave. And you also mentioned earlier that the net new asset target is probably the one that's the most challenging. So I guess the question is, this is probably the 800-pound gorilla question, too, is...
Two 800-pound gorillas.
Yeah, that's a big gorilla.
Yeah,
two.
I'm just getting a visual, Rich.
Standing around a fire. So if the question directly is, does E*TRADE have enough scale to go, with these acquisitions? You've improved your net new asset. I think you've shown the most improvement in net new asset, the compound annual growth rate, but it's still overall at a level that's lower than the traditional peers. So do you have the scale to compete?
So a lot of people talk about size and size matters and all these other pieces, but what I've seen with this organization is nimble, able to move very quickly, able to reorganize toward a target and toward growth goals in a very short period of time. We hold each other accountable. We make decisions quickly. We course correct when we see something out of line. We all drive in the same direction. This is a big part of the reorganization that we did was to realign the organization and put autonomy back into the management team to make sure that we could execute without multiple layers of bureaucracy. So I actually think our size gives us some distinct advantages in that respect. Then I take a look at our brand. Right? If people can tell me that we're not considered in the same sentence as many of our larger competitors who spend a heck of a lot more money than we do on advertising and marketing, I'd be surprised. We're in the conversation, we're out there, our brand awareness is extremely good for a company of our size and scale. So I think we do quite well. E-Trade Corporate Services, when you look at that, is that about size? No, it's about excellence. It's about excellence in platform, it's about excellence in service, and it's about driving an accountable organization who responds to their customer base. It's the way we behave throughout the entire organization. So it's a mindset in terms of, oh, we're not big enough. I think we're actually the perfect size. And the proof point of that is, talk about our asset growth, right? What do we make on those assets, Rich? Right? For a dollar of new assets that we bring in and what we can generate in terms of return on those assets, we still return 2 to 3 times what our competitors do for every dollar that we bring in terms of the basis points that we get on, you know, on assets that are on us. So, you know, I look at that and you look at our op margins, right, in the mid-40s, what we've been able to turn it from over the past 2 years, and with interest rates and sort of another few rate moves, which I think highly anticipated, you know, we're looking at the high 40s. So we talk about scale and size and what matters. I look at our profitability and what we've been able to drive in terms of value, and I think we're the perfect size.
I don't think anybody can argue E-Trade has made improvements, you know, across the board. So one area that 2 years ago or 3 years ago we were all talking about the regulatory headwinds, CCAR, and so forth, all the risk management infrastructure you were putting in, now we're starting to see a potential rollback. So I guess the question is, with, you know, I'm sure you guys have looked at the reg reform bill, you know, what does that, how much does that give you any relief, and what's the impact of, say, CCAR and DFAST to E-Trade?
So I think, look, it's fantastic that something was finally done about a $50 billion threshold that even the drafters of the original legislation said when they said it, it was arbitrary. Right? I don't know how it survived as long as it did. It stifled lending at the community level. It stifled a lot of opportunities in the marketplace. And we're finally seeing some relief there. A lot of work to do. The Fed, the OCC, they all have to promulgate their own rules enacting what's come out. So there will be a bit of a lag going through. But, you know, CCAR, the monthly, quarterly, and annual filings, taking that off the table for us, a bank our size with $60 billion, is a really nice thing. Right? Getting rid of sort of the overall living will and the hoops that you had to jump through. Getting rid of, hopefully, that, you know, the funky qualitative analysis that the regulators were doing on a lot of those submissions that people are scratching their heads saying, quantitatively we blew it out of the, you know, out of the water. How are you dinging us qualitatively? It just doesn't make any sense to give someone that much discretion over a financial institution. So I think we'll be in a much better place. It will absolutely invigorate additional growth, but more work to be done on exactly what it's going to drop to the bottom line. But you're right. We look at it every day. We're in it now.
Yeah, so I'm not going to hold you because we don't have Mike up here. But the like originally, I think it was $15 million a year or so, and you had $20 million over 2 years, but there is, like you feel, there's going to be some reduction in those costs.
So remember that 15 or 20 that Mike talked about was down from the originally projected 50 that a prior team had come out with. So I think we've already dug into that. This management team digs into everything on the expense base. So the work is going on now. I'm just loath to give out any kind of numbers or significance because there's still a lot of things we need to do around data management, a lot of things that are very prudent for our business, and that our regulators will still hold us accountable for. So are we looking for more to give back and more to drop to the bottom line? Absolutely, but hopefully more of an update when we get into our earnings call and we have a little more clarity around what's actually going to happen. But some of that's just dependent on the rulemaking coming out of the Fed and the OCC.
So I think it's the last question, and maybe first of all, let's go to a question out here, and I'll have a wrap-up question if there is.
Okay.
Do we have the mics? First, any questions from the audience here? You got a wave. I don't know if you got a question.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah. People are shy. I guess I'll ask my closing question. So we've already talked about the stock price being around 27 in September 2016, and 64, 69 yesterday. So it's gone from a 10 to a, excuse me, from a $7 billion to a
$17
billion market cap. Over the two-year period, or when it gets, I'm not saying that, let's just say the 18-month period right now, what are you most proud of? What accomplishment would you point out to shareholders that E*TRADE's accomplished in this period? That'll be the first part.
Okay. So in terms of what I'm the most proud of, I'm proud of the alignment of the management team and what we've been able to drive, the way that they've behaved together and the way that we've been able to grow the franchise, really put our brokerage back on the map, put our brand back out, that we're in the conversation again, and that we've been able to reignite the growth engine, right? The proof of that is the value that we've been able to grow for our shareholders, and I can demonstrate that on a daily basis to my team. I can show them how they're adding real value and continue to drive them harder to say, "Hey, guys, let's keep rolling," right? We're not done here. We're just getting started.
The last part of the question, a little bit tougher. If there was a decision that, in the best interest of shareholders, that you might pursue what's called strategic alternatives, how would that impact, how would you feel about that? Because I think investors, they want to know from an attachment side, an emotional side as well.
What price are you offering, Rich? I'll tell you how I feel.
Ah.
So in terms of that question, it's one that's out there all the time. We are a public company. We are, as you guys know better than anyone, we're technically for sale every day. So how would I feel about it? With the value that we've delivered for shareholders, if somebody were to come in and offer us a knockout price, I'd be extremely pleased with that. This has not been from the beginning, with how bold we've been, with how, you know, sort of outspoken, transparent in terms of everything that we've talked about to the marketplace. This is not an entrenched or embedded management team. That's not who we are. We're not looking to stay in our jobs. We're very happy to do our jobs and drive value. But if a sale should be an event that could create even more value than we think we can drive on our own out into the future, then that's the right decision. The board will come to that decision, right? It's within our fiduciary duties to do that, and that's what they'll do. Do I think we can continue to drive more value for shareholders? Absolutely, right? Just in terms of the overall brokerage, getting back to our core, our investing advice continuum, rolling that out and being accepted into that marketplace. TCA by E*TRADE, growing the RIA channel, growing our, you know, our, the lines that we have for referral business. E*TRADE Corporate Services, leader in its field and continues to do better. And then continuing to focus on capital deployment and being good stewards of capital for our shareholders. Continuing to return it where it's appropriate, to invest it or apply it where we can, and continue to drive the op margins the way we have. So I look at it, Rich, as it's another day in the life should that happen. And if it's the best thing for shareholders, that's exactly where we'll be.
First, thank you for putting up with my obnoxious questions. Secondly.
Is this new?
Yeah, no, it's not new. It's not new at all. It's gone on for 15 years, actually. The second thing is, Carl part-time, or you will part-time as a sports agent. You have a rising star 15-year-old baseball player that's a promising potential star athlete.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.